Today at Second Baptist Church, it is an honor to see you guys here, and it is an honor for those of you at home joining us wherever you are. Thank you for being with us in worship today. I invite you to join in now, but I also invite you, if you're looking for a time to get out today, we are going to try something new at 10:45. We'll be having parking lot worship right out here in our south parking lot. And we invite you to come out in your cars if you want to come at 10:45. We'll be broadcasting it on the radio. Something new, we're going to try it today and see how it goes. So if you want to get out, come and join us. Bring your family and come in the car, come in your shorts, come casual. We'd love to see you here for 10:45 worship. Today is a special day. Today is August the 2nd. Jake, I hope you remember what today is. This is Jake Maxwell's second anniversary here at Second Baptist Church. We are very blessed by Jake and Allison and Eva and Lainey and by your presence here, so thank you so much. I invite you to participate in worship today with us in all ways possible. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
All who hunger, gather gladly.
We come to feast on the life-giving word.
Here, love abounds and grace overflows.
Here, blessings multiply as gifts are shared.
Come, let us pour ourselves out in prayer and praise.
And open ourselves to renewal and rest.
We come before you so grateful that you're here with us. May you receive our praise and our honor, our worship, and be pleased. Thank you for your righteousness, for your faithfulness, for your love. And thank you for Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
invite all the boys and girls at home, wherever you are, to come around your TV and come around your computer and join me for children's time today. This message is for you guys. First of all, I want you to know how much I miss your faces, and I love seeing all of your pictures show up online, and you can send me pictures anytime. We miss you, and we want to see what you're doing during your summer. I was thinking about our Bible lesson today, boys and girls, and you know, I was thinking about this, the key player for me in this story, and there's a lot of key players, but one of the key players I want to focus on is the boy, the little boy. We're talking about the feeding of the 5,000. This little boy comes into the story, and he has this meager lunch that his mom prepared for him, and, you know, and by himself, walking into the story, he can't do much, right? We alone, by ourselves, we can't do much on our own. But when we put our faith in Jesus, and I think that's what this little boy did, and that's what I want you guys to think about in this story today, we can do so much more. And I wanted to show you a visual that I thought maybe might resonate with you guys. I have this, I hope you can see this big orange piece of paper that I have. And it has four corners, right? Y'all know your corners, you've learned those in school. And if we said, okay, I'm gonna share this piece of paper with all of you, I'm just gonna cut each one of you a corner. So if I cut off a corner off of my piece of paper, and I shared that with somebody, I want you to see what happens on my paper. After I share it, I end up with two more corners on my piece of paper. So then I could cut another corner off of my paper. And now look what I have. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 corners. And then I've just created more, and I can keep sharing. So I've taken my four corners, and they just keep multiplying. Kind of like the bread in the story. I was trying to think, as these disciples are going around and feeding these people on the beach that are so hungry, they're thinking, we're only going to be able to feed 5 people, Jesus. What are you telling us to do? And he said, just feed the people, feed the hungry, right? And so they walk around and they keep feeding them, and somehow the bread just keeps multiplying. And I thought about that as I was thinking about this little science project with this paper. As we keep cutting the corners and we have faith, we end up sharing it with more and more people. So what I want you to remember from our story today is that on our own, we can do so much. You can do great things on your own. But if you put your faith in Jesus and bring Jesus into your team, into your boat, into your game, you can do so much more because Jesus adds that much more to our lives. I want you to remember that. Boys and girls, would you pray with me? And folks here, would you guys pray with me? God, we thank you for this child and this story. So much can be done through the eyes and the heart of a child. Just like the children here of Second Baptist Church, Lord, you are doing so much through each and every one of these kids. I love seeing their lives come alive through you. God, be with each and every one of our families, wherever they are. Help them to know that we love them and that we miss them and that we want them to be safe and healthy. And we thank you, Jesus, for everything that you give us every day. It's in your most holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, all that we want, all that we need, all that we have, all that has been withheld is from you. All that we want is from you. All that we could ever need is from you. All that we have is from you. And all that isn't is from you. Be near to us in our wants, our desires, our possession, and in our lack. Be near to our brothers, our sisters, our neighbors, and our friends in their wants, in their needs, in their desires, in their possession, and in their lack. At your table, there is always more than enough. Thank you for letting us sit at your table. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew 14, 13 through 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
It is good to be back for the early service. Can a brother get an amen? It's where the real Christians gather to worship. And this will be recorded and played at the time of the late service in just a little bit. And all the late service folks will be offended. And to them I say, good. Cheryl invited you to the parking lot worship. If I were you, I would give it a week. Okay, I'd give it a week. Let the staff learn the technology, get all the bugs out. You don't want to go to the best restaurant in town the first night it's open. You want to go, you know, night three. Very good. If you get to the end of this sermon and you think, Cheryl did it better with construction paper and scissors and 2 minutes, then that's just fine. Okay, you can just go back and watch that over. It's good to be in worship with you, my friends, whether you're here or whether you're on the other side of a miracle that we call the internet. Quentin Tarantino is a very dark filmmaker. If he and bad Arkansas stereotypes got together with the ever-violent television show Game of Thrones, extremely adult, they could come up together. Arkansas, Quentin Tarantino, and Game of Thrones could come up together with a story that might look a lot like the story precluding our gospel message. Quentin Tarantino's picturesque villain would be Herod. And Herod, in the beginning of Matthew 14, as you may well know, is throwing himself a birthday party. Let us pause and think of all the people in our lives who throw themselves birthday parties. Now, before we go too far, there are, in fact, plenty of people who use their special day to build joy, to share delight with others, and then there are the Herods of the world, aren't there? Herods are the me's who really love me some me. Do you know a Herod? Yeah. Herod has thrown himself a birthday party. I think we should pause and praise for the Herods of the world. I think our prayer lives should be full of prayers for Herods. And here's why. Most often our prayer, as I experience it, our prayers particularly for the Herods of the world don't necessarily have impact on Herod's behavior. But when we will pray for Herod, it seems that our hearts become just a little bit more open to grace. Yeah, let's pray for Herod. Prayer is often far more about ourselves than it can even be about the subject by which we're praying. So Herod, in true Arkansan fashion, has taken his brother's wife, his brother-in-law's wife as his own. John the Baptist, as you may well know, has spoken out against such arrangement, and for such speaking out, they've placed John the Baptist in jail. And traveling a little bit past Arkansas, we find the beauty of West Virginia. It just keeps getting better. For Herod's brother-in-law's wife, who is now Herod's wife, on Herod's birthday party that Herod has thrown for himself, this wife asks her daughter to tempt her husband with a sensual sort of dancing. It just keeps getting better, the Bible, doesn't it? It's just a wonderful book. And so Herod's daughter tempts him with a dance and says, I'll give you whatever you'd like. And for her mother, she said, I would like, Game of Thrones style, the head of John the Baptist on a platter served at your birthday party, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. And it is this story, I believe, that we can truly understand the gospel story that we've read today together about the feeding of the crowd. It begins with saying this: Jesus had heard about what Herod had done to John the Baptist, and he withdrew. He withdrew to a deserted place by himself. A literary refrain in our Gospels is often, Jesus withdrew. One might think that religious talking heads can't get enough of a good crowd. look at this great crowd. I've got you captivated. And however, Jesus it is, time and time again, breaks the mold. Breaks the mold of what it might mean to be a spiritual leader. Breaks the mold of what it might mean to be the Savior. Jesus withdrew. I counted unofficially, unexhaustively, I counted 25 times in our Gospels do we have this refrain of Jesus withdrawing. 25 times, I ask you, what else did Jesus do 25 times or more? Maybe he told parables 25 times or more. Just like in this story, maybe he healed people 25 times or more. And maybe he avoided other people's questions 25 times or more, like any true sage would. These are the things that only I can think of that he did more than withdrawing. You see, Herod reclines at a party palace of opulence, and it is the true king who withdraws to a deserted place. And the deserted place, as you well know, is a place of prayer. Yeah. Herod loves me some me, and Jesus withdraws for prayer. I wondered, do you have a crowd around you? I wonder, is there momentum in a certain direction? I wonder, is there an expected action that has been thrust upon you? And maybe instead, in the tradition of Jesus, we would withdraw. We would Sabbath. We would make space and time for rest and for prayer. Whether we want to hear this word or not, particularly in this time, this is often, as I experience, the direction that the Savior leads. Is withdrawing to that deserted place of prayer. And it seems to me, like it was here for Jesus, it is when we are at our busiest. It is when we are at our best. It is when the demands upon us are the greatest. It is then, precisely then, that Jesus would withdraw to the deserted place. Let me ask you, are you busy? Are there demands on your life? Is your calendar full? This is the exact moment that Jesus would Sabbath. August 2020, right? This is the time to act, right? This is not the time to withdrawing. Now is the time for more action, right? Yes. Yes. And we see here, it is Jesus' action and Jesus' contemplation that are married together as one. The two inform one another. To be fair, I understand all of this could be a little tone deaf, right? In my home, we are facing another epidemic known as cabin fever. We don't like our house. We don't like our food. We don't like our clothes. We don't like each other, except for the baby. Okay. We are sick of being in one space. And yet time and again, Jesus calls us not to the one space, but to the deserted space. It is here that action flows from. I spent the summer of 2004, outside of Kyiv, Ukraine. I was teaching English with some friends. I was an English tutor. Oh, the universe has such great irony. I was an English tutor at an orphanage for the summer. And just to make it, I think now 5 weeks in a row, we spent our mornings on grammar and idioms and language. And we spent our afternoons, thanks be to God, playing soccer in the dirt field out back. I spent a summer doing this. It was incredible. As you well know, 2004 was a pretty good year for Ukrainian soccer. Andrei Shevchenko, you might remember, was tearing it up in Europe for AC Milan. And that summer, the Ukrainian, the blue and the yellow had a wonderful showing at the World Cup. But why would I repeat information that you already know? During this summer, occasionally the orphanage would have soccer balls, and it would be great. And after class was over, we'd go out and we'd play soccer. And after maybe about a week, if we had a soccer ball, Being kicked around in a dirt field with debris and rocks and just constant use, as you can imagine, after about a week, that soccer ball was practically dust. And when the soccer ball wore out, the children just walked into the field next to the empty dirt lot and wove together balls made of reeds and grasses and weeds. They'd roll the ball back out and the game would keep going. I was on scholarship, NC2A, at student athlete, and I was getting schooled by children in soccer. It was humbling and incredible. And about midway through the summer, a young man about my very same age from Dallas, Texas, he arrived and was a tutor with us for a week. His name, I'll remember, was Cliff. And Cliff was an employee at Academy Sports. Cliff really enjoyed playing soccer with us that week, and we enjoyed Cliff, and it was great, okay? And Cliff returned home, as many of the volunteers did after a week, and maybe a week's time had passed, and a crate of soccer balls was delivered to the orphanage. There's no name on it. There was no return address. There was a simple, small Academy Sports label there at the bottom of the crate. And as you can imagine, the children ran around the campus that week saying, "It's a miracle. It's a miracle. We have soccer balls for the rest of the summer." Can you imagine? Can you imagine being a kiddo with almost nothing in the world and yet seeing an unlimited supply of gold, otherwise known as soccer balls? The children were screaming, "It's a miracle." And yet some of the other volunteers and I smiled at one another, and we remembered Cliff, the hourly employee who had returned to his job at Academy Sports in Dallas, Texas. The children were saying, "It's a miracle." And I was thinking, no, it's even better than a miracle. Yeah. The feeding of the thousands who come out from the towns to join Jesus in the deserted place. The feeding of these people is of endless meaning and portion. Time and time again in our scriptures is there a provision from God, an inbreaking of divinity into our reality, provision, a forward, a movement of blessing and goodness from God. Just as God fed the people fleeing Egypt in the wilderness, there was more than enough. Here again, Christ, in the presence of Christ, the bounty therein is revealed. The royal table of Herod, which is a setting of incest and greed and violence, contrasts the deserted place where all are fed. It is the ruler of Rome that reveals who the true king is. It is the excess we see in the castle that uncovers the abundance available in Zion. Selfishness contracts. Selflessness expands. With this comparison of Herod and Jesus, I think we can see that Christ feeding the masses in the deserted place with 5 fishes and 2 loaves is not a miracle. It's even better. The presence of Christ beckons a sharing that expands beyond previously understood limits of reality. It's even better than a miracle. A remote village scorched by fires due to extended drought, and the people in this village lost almost all that they had. The children in a neighboring village heard the rumor of what had happened. And when they learned about the destruction of their neighbors, they thought to themselves, well, I have items. I have more than just one t-shirt. And so the next day, instead of going to school, the children in this village walked past their school and walked to the neighboring village. and gave the children there with no shirts one of their two shirts. Because why would you want two shirts if your neighbor only has none? Last week, our Pyrexia Sunday school class had dinner delivered and flowers and just a blessing to the COVID staff at the UMC here in Lubbock. And I overheard the Google Hangout call where they were talking about afterwards. It read a thank you letter from those whom they had blessed. And one of the things that I had overheard as they were describing the reaction to this meal was one of the nurses or the medical staff there on the floor said, "Oh, wow, they sent the good pizza." And I confess to you, I love cheap pizza. My wife doesn't. I don't get it far often as I would like. I love cheap pizza. But when you have the good pizza, you've tasted something that's even better than a miracle, haven't you? See, the five fishes and the two loaves wouldn't last 5.2 seconds on Herod's table. But on Christ's table, when we share what we have, it is even bigger and better and badder than a miracle. Is there a Herod in your life? Are you surrounded by a crowd and expectations? Do you have two t-shirts? In the presence of Christ, Herod's banquet vanishes. In the deserted place with Christ, there is rest and there is renewal. And in the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, there is fishes, there is loaves, there is t-shirts, and there are soccer balls unending. Let's pray together. You welcome us into your presence and into your deserted place, O God. And it is there that life, justice, bread, fellowship, relationship abound. In your presence is not a deserted place. In your presence is heaven. Help us to walk. Help us to crawl. Help us to be in this miracle from your hand always. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray together. Amen. Thank you. What a joy to gather with you in worship. I'd like to share some good news with you, some things happening that have been happening. Maybe some good news would be encouragement to your soul. I think we've had three families express interest in joining the church since the whole thing blew up. Isn't that incredible? We've had one high school student come forward and ask to be baptized. And we're still figuring out how and when and where to do that. But that's an incredible thing to do in a time like this. I spoke to Nidra yesterday on the phone, and she said, how do you join the church in a time like this? Do you come forward and hug everyone? You know, it was wonderful to speak with Nidra Robertson yesterday, had expressed interest in joining our congregation, our family of faith, and we, of course, said, number one, yes, thanks be to God, Nidra. We are just thrilled that you are here. And second, we will try our best not to hold it against you who your daddy is. You know, I'm kidding. We love Ed, and your family is light and love to us all. But we'll publish Nidra's contact information in our newsletter, so on and so forth. And it would encourage you to send her a written hug, a written welcome, a wave of peace of Christ today. But if you would now, church, if you would commit to be light and love and grace to her as she has been to us already, if you would, Nidra, commit to us that we would embody the family of Christ together. Would you say amen? Amen. Amen. Nidra, we are just blessed to have you here, and absolutely. If you would stand, I would be honored to give you some words of blessing as you go. As long as you live, may you never be short of Christ's presence in your life. And may the presence of Christ bless you and keep you always. Go in peace, my friends.